Welcome to Pursuing True North's Truth of the Week series. I'm Katherine King.
And I'm Jenny Scioto. This week's Truth of the Week is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
So the first part of this, may the God of hope. I really like how they describe God in so many ways throughout the Bible. Like the Holy Spirit, God just poured out all the different names and the different titles, and this is kind of one of them. Like, he's the God of hope. Like, great I am, like everything else, but I like that they specifically say hope here, because I think a lot of people tend to, after life kind of runs its course on them, a lot of people will lose that hope. And not attributing hope to God, if you kind of separate the two, which it's not meant to be separated, we can get lost a bit and kind of lose our hope if we don't attribute that to God.
Yeah, and the world can take a lot of that hope away if we let it. And this verse is just, it's beautiful. You know, the God of hope, who he gives hope, and he fills us with joy and peace. It's just beautiful feelings and words.
I like that those are the things that we get when we are believing in him. Because that's definitely a specific part of this verse. It's, you get filled with hope and joy and peace because of your believing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're believing in him, because you're believing the words that he says. And that's why it's so important to learn what God says in his word, because when we hang on to those words, it can help be a good reminder for us so that we don't lose hope and that we continue in that joy and peace in our believing.
Yeah, and God wants us to have all of these feelings. He wants us to have peace in this world. He wants us to find our joy. He wants us to have hope. He sends us the Holy Spirit for these, to help us with these things. And as long as we keep our minds on Scripture and our hope in God, these feelings won't be stolen from us. So often if we're looking in the outside world to kind of give us this and not God, how easily we can be led astray and how easily we can lose our happiness if we're putting our feelings into something that's worldly versus godly. So I'd like to go into an example of happiness versus joy. So God wants us to have joy. And I kind of think of, like, God gives joy and the world can make you temporarily happy, like in flowers. So my husband gave me a dozen roses for Mother's Day, and that made me happy. It was really pretty bouquet. He thought of me, all the things. But God gives me a rose bush, and that can last years or a lifetime. Joy to me is something that lasts from God, that lasts that lifetime. It's not the fleeting bouquet of roses that will leave me in a week. It's that forever. God wants me to feel this joy. He wants me to perpetually be in his joy, in his hope, and in his peace.
So joy is more like a pillar and not a feeling, is what I'm catching from what you're saying.
Yeah.
So the flowers were a feeling of happiness, but joy is this constant pillar of your home.
Mm-hmm.
You're built on the foundation of the Word of God and truth, and we have to have pillars that hold up our house, and joy is probably just like one of them. Like, no matter what season it happens to be on your house, that joy is this anchor in your soul.
Good, bad, or indifferent, you can have joy.
Yes.
You can find joy because God wants us to have joy. Joy is not something that can be stolen because something happened, or any circumstance. That's just something that we have to live in.
It's a confidence.
Mm-hmm.
The background of this verse in particular from Paul, he was expressing God's hope for both Jew and Gentile. And he was pulling from Old Testament prophecies in the verses that lead up to Romans 15:13. As a Jew, because Paul was a Jew, he was proclaiming good news to Gentiles, and he was kind of excited about it. At first, Paul really was a little bit taken aback from it, the salvation being open to the Gentiles, but once God kind of made him realize that, he got excited about it, and he was writing all about it in Romans 15. And it is a beautiful thing for us that most of us aren't Jews, and we have the salvation and this hope, and he's proclaiming it. He's excited about it. He's saying, guys, look what you have. As you believe, I believe that the God of hope is going to fill you. The Holy Spirit's going to take care of you. You're going to abound in hope, brothers and sisters. What better motivation is there to walk closely with God than to have our whole being filled with the Holy Spirit and abound in joy, peace, and hope?
That's good.
It's great motivation.
Yeah. To walk, I mean, not that we God. Should do it for the motivation, but God gives us great motivation to want to seek him.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Because obviously there is work on our behalf, just like it is with any other relationship. If we are to be, if Jenny and I, if we want to have a close relationship where we enjoy each other and have fun experiences together, we have to actually be together and be around each other to experience all those things.
Exactly. And that's how we grow closer to God, is by being in the Bible, because that's what he gives us as a tangible way of knowing who he is and what he says about us.
And when you go in with an open mind and the awareness that you are with God as you read his words, they come alive to you off the pages. And one verse that may have spoken to you one way at one point is going to speak to you differently. It's not like, oh, I have memorized this verse, I don't ever need to look at it again. Because that can be an easy trap to fall into. It's like, well, I've read the Psalms or whatever, but yeah. Read it again. It will come alive differently, and the Holy Spirit connects with us when we seek him, when we engage with him, and we do get filled as we do that.
That's a really good point, though, as we go through Scripture, that sometimes one verse can mean one thing to us, and then years later, going through a different season of life, it means something else to us. So often, God speaks to our circumstance right where we are, and so a lot of times, certain words will just speak to us. It's like, oh, this is what God wants me to hold on to right now. This is where I need to rest. This particular verse, I dealt with a lot of depression as a teenager, and it was really, really rough, and I couldn't see light. Anyone who has struggled with depression knows that the lies that you sell yourself are so much more real than any truth that's actually out there. And one of the ways that I was able to kind of pull myself out of depression was this particular verse. And we didn't plan this at all when we picked. I don't even think I was the one that picked this verse. But may the God of hope fill you with joy. And I just kept thinking about how God wanted me to have joy. And I had to fight to try to think of what joy meant and what joy felt like. And to not be fooled by my emotions versus what God had in store for me. And so often, I think especially in those teenage years when emotions are like ridiculous and our hormones are going crazy, it's so easy to kind of get swallowed by your emotions versus truth, that this is one of those verses that kind of grounded me at the time and said, like, this is what God wants for me. It has nothing to do with my circumstances. My circumstances stink right now. My emotions stink right now. But God, the God of hope, wants me to have joy and peace. How do I find this? How do I feel this? Like, how do I make myself walk this through? And it's just beautiful when you do trust in God and believe that He will give you these things. He really will.
As Nate, you used this verse in particular when dealing with depression, that you were able to speak to that darkness, to that negativity that was in you. You were able to speak to it with the Word of God, and that's how we fight. That's mm-hmm. exactly, because we have to fight. I think a lot of times, and I've been caught up in this in the past, I would pray and just kind of hope, like, maybe this will work, maybe it won't. And to know, instead of questioning that, to know that instead you can take God's word and pray the word to your circumstance, mm-hmm. that's the most powerful prayer, kind of praying we can do, is use His words. And yeah,
because His word is 100% true 100% of the time. Our emotions are only half of the time true. Like, if that.
Yeah. 50% is being generous here.
Like, our emotions never dictate true circumstances. Whereas God's word is something that we can rest in, which is why, you know, they call the Bible the sword. You know, it's just, these words will cut through any lies. And we need to remember that.
I think it's really neat also at the end of this verse, it says, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Basically, that's saying the power that gives us hope is the Holy Spirit. So that's a power. Like, mm-hmm. that's a power that's not ours. That's not something we have to muster up. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, as you believe, will give you that hope. Yeah. It's just this, it's almost like a really pretty cycle of,
exactly,
we believe and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to have the hope that we need to have, so that in those hard times, in those negative circumstances in life, we have a focus and that joy that you were talking about that isn't a feeling, and know that the power at work in you is the Holy Spirit, and it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, eventually. The Holy Spirit just...
It will.
It's amazing what happens through prayer. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is like the OG Avenger. He has all the powers. Between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are everything. And they have all of this wisdom, all of this hope, all of this joy, all of the peace, and they want to give it to us as long as we pray and we ask for it and we seek to live in their truth and all of that. You know, it's just, it's a beautiful way of life, what God has in store for us, if we would just embrace it and not get swayed.
And He's also not going to overpower us with it either.
No.
He doesn't want to invade where He's not invited.
He doesn't want to force us.
He doesn't want puppets. I think he was telling us to one of my kids yesterday. I was like, you have to invite God into your moments that are hard, into your space where you're struggling to get things right. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And He will, but He's not going to come and just go, oh, look, she's struggling. Boom, let me take her over like she's some kind of puppet on a string.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that.
He wants to be invited in.
So the challenge for week 26, where have you lost hope? Or have you? If you haven't lost hope, praise God. But are there any areas of your life where you've kind of lost a little bit of hope? Ask the Holy Spirit to pour out fresh hope into you. And ask for help in believing if you need to.
So glad you joined us today. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing, and catch all our new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like and share us. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week.